This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neesh and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Māori to all our Kiribati listeners, and welcome to everyone joining us today for Neesh and Footy, the place where our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds takes centre stage. My name's Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Kiwi, Tinira Arona. T, how's the legs from our session yesterday?
Kia ora, Sammy, mate. The calves, they're burning.
Yeah, we did a stair session yesterday, 6:30 a.m.
So my mate here on Saturday, he sees on my socials taking my sons for a bit of a run. And then he's like, oh, actually, tomorrow morning, we're going to go and do a stair session at Coogee, which you know, a lot of athletes go there and run. You said the Waratahs used to go there and train there. I know Sydney Roosters used to do a fair bit of sessions back in the day there. So it's based in Sydney. And, yeah, I met him on Sunday morning, and we spent 1 hour going up and down this hill, and now my calves are burning.
Yes,
but
same.
Moving on to our show, Neesh and Footy, mate, some big results in the NRL, which we'll cover. The ladder is actually looking very different to what I expected this time of the year, but we'll touch on that. We also will be chatting to Shelley Long, who it feels like it has been a very long time.
Been a minute.
So Shelley Long, after a long time apart, we will be catching up with her. And Rugby Union, Sammy, one of the biggest guests, Rugby Union royalty. He's had the most caps for a Wallabies prop. 110 in total.
Oh, you've done a bit of research.
Yes.
Well done.
Tongan Australian.
Yes.
I'll let you do the honours.
The great man, Seko Pekepu, he comes on and joins us on Neesh and Footy. I can't wait to chat to this man. He is one of the greatest to ever don, I guess, the Wallabies jersey as a prop, but in general as well. And I'm looking forward to just talking to him about his Moana Pacifica experience, entering the team into the Super Rugby competition, blending the Neeshan cultures together and just seeing what that was all about.
Moment of the week.
So, Sammy, each week we like to start off with a moment that caught our eye. And I believe you're a Bulldogs fan.
Yeah.
And you really wanted to get this in.
I wanted to get this in. I pushed for it about 5 times to get this in.
I will leave it with you. What caught your eye, mate?
Oh, mate, thank you, T. It's rugby league. Like, it's surprisingly, my moment of the week comes from your game, T. And it was the Bulldogs. And this is where I became a Bulldogs fan. 2004, when the Dogs beat the Roosters in the grand final. They had the likes of Sonny Bill Williams, Matty Utai,
Willie Mason,
Willie Tonga, Roy Asatasi.
Big Roy.
Big Roy. You know, that was Rennie Matua as well.
That was one there. Jonathan Thurston played as well.
Came in for Stephen Price in the grand final, and he gave him his championship ring. That's where I fell in love with the Dogs. Been a supporter. Probably haven't been the last, 5 years though. Been staying quiet. And I live in the area as well. But, you know, when they had their 20-year reunion for their grand finals when they beat the Roosters, and seeing Stephen Crichton lead the boys out in the old kit,
their grand final kit.
You know, it just looked like there was a bit of steel in the eyes, bit more emotion, bit more of a build up, and then watching them run out and just seeing Mason and the boys from that team just like clapping them on and just, you know, pumping up the tires and feeling the atmosphere, because the conditions were pretty atrocious, you know, with the rain.
With the rain, yeah.
With the rain
in Sydney.
And they got the win. So that was my moment of the week. I can proudly say I'm a Dog supporter in our area. There's a few more Dogs shirts and jerseys rolling around, so they've dusted off the cobwebs. Bankstown's flourishing at the moment.
Bulivinaka, Lotte Tungiri here, and you're listening to Neesh and Footy.
So round 5 in the NRL, and we'll touch on the ladder a little bit after we speak about a couple of games. Yes, it's early, but after 5 rounds, the Dolphins are sitting at first place, but they beat the Tigers at home 26-16. Now, the Tigers making 11 errors to the Dolphins 5, and the Dolphins made them pay. Some great moments from your cousin, Isaiah Katoa, after signing an extension. He scored the opening try and put in a perfect rubber kick for his half's partner, Nikarima, to score next to the post. Yeah, and the amount of shout-outs we give this bloke, and he hasn't come on our show.
That's so, very true. Like, our messages have been seen. I see the two blue ticks for WhatsApp. But none of the, you know, the typing bubbles that you get? Yeah, don't see any of that.
He's probably thinking, this guy needs to stop asking me for a signed jersey. But back to the game, I thought the Tigers prop, Stefano Toikomanu, you know, he tried hard for his team, topping the tackle count in the game with 41 tackles. He made 162 metres off 16 carries as well. But my favourite moment, now, we all love a Benjamin Button, you know, the older players that still look young. And the 31-year-old Tongan Queenslander Felice Kafusi, he made this break running straight through the Tigers defenders, and then he passes it to Samoan Queenslander, the Hammer, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, to run away untouched for a try.
Oh, here's a break from Kafusi. Forget that thought. He breaks the line up to halfway, needs support. He's got support, all right. The best bloke in red to give it to is Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. He backs up. He scores in the corner.
Yeah, Kafusi, the old bull, still got it in the legs, but I think they ran out just a little bit as he made that break. He grabbed his hammy after it.
The high-speed meters.
The high-speed meters. You're not often in that type of space, is it? Clear air.
He's just looking for someone, and the hammer just comes through, and I see him when he just passed the ball. He's like, oh, and he just gives it and then
grabs his hammy, but hopefully he's not out for too long because they need him so they can stay at the top of the table.
Yes, and speaking of other games, the Sea Eagles, mate, they are a different beast at home playing at Brookvale. They defeated the reigning champions, Penrith Panthers, 32-18. Watching it on TV, the crowd, mate, you couldn't see an
empty
seat.
Brookie Oval, wowee.
It was a big event as well for Manly. You know, their captain, Daly Cherry Evans, breaks the Sea Eagles' all-time appearance record playing his 310th game. He surpasses the great Cliff Lyons, who played 309. The skipper had a blinder, but alongside a couple of his teammates, Toa Fofoa Sipley, plays prop for Manly. He had 17 carries for 143 metres. But I thought as well, another great young Nijan player, centre Tolutau Kola. Now, he ran for 216 metres, but scores his try, and I want to speak to you about it after we play some audio.
Last tackle, Panthers, trailing 8-6. Schneider threatened to kick, goes right to Edwards. Cut out pass, was intercepted and then dropped by Tommy Talau. And the referee's letting play go on. Cole has picked it up and sprinted all the way downfield. He's going to put the ball down and claim a try. And down it goes. Luai gave it some chase, but everyone's got their arms out going, what's doing, referee? It was a blatant knock on. Don't tell me. He points to the spot, Todd Smith.
I'll get a check.
Yeah, wonderful. This looks futile.
They've given it.
Oh, that'll do, mate. That'll do, mate. That is a knock-on every single day of the week. Well, that's just utter stupidity. I don't understand. Get Graeme Annesley back on the phone.
I'll tell you who I do feel sorry for is Graeme Annesley, the referee's boss, is it? What it is? His phone must ring all the time about rules and getting clarification because...
Yeah, there was one last week where they had to turn it back. The lead runner where he blocked the fullback through the defence. Yeah.
But was it a knock-on tee? It seemed, or is it classified? If he was running, like, so if he's running onto it and it's gone through his hands and it's landed a little bit backwards, is that not a knock-on in league? I'm not too sure.
Well, I think every Panther fan thought it was a knock-on, but I think there's a valuable lesson here to learn. Play to the whistle.
That's very true.
Exactly
very
what Tolutau Kola done. Played to the whistle. So picks the ball up, runs the meters, puts the ball down, and lets the ref worry about that. And
put the pressure back on the ref to make a decision, yeah?
Yeah, so great work to him. That is it for the NRL games. But looking at the ladder, we'll have a quick discussion, Sammy. Dolphins at the top, equal with the Cowboys.
Equal with the Cowboys?
Oh, Storm and Sharks, yep.
Wow.
And we also have at the bottom, guess who's at the bottom? without looking at the paper in front of you?
To be honest, I hope the Eels are, because I tipped them to get the wooden spoon. So
no, the Rabbitohs are actually at the bottom.
Oh, the Rabbitohs.
And they're underneath the Titans. So
before the
season started, I'm thinking Rabbitohs definitely top four, top eight. We have also Broncos, Roosters, Knights and Eels who aren't in the top eight. So
all those ones that were in the top eight last year, struggling at the moment.
Yeah, they're struggling. So it's only round five. I know it's pretty early in the season, but as we've seen in the Super Rugby, we don't want to be a team that's chasing. We don't want to be a team that's chasing 2 points and the season just slowly runs away from you.
You're not wrong.
So remember, you can hear all NRL games each week live on Radio Australia.
T, New South Wales, Jersey Fleg, the Silk Tails, our Fijian brothers, how are they going there?
Not too good. I think that, yeah.
Well, you can't sugarcoat it. You've got to call a spade a spade.
Well, we said you don't want to be chasing points, and it looks like the Cavite Silk Tails are still chasing points. They lost to the Storm 36-10. But over in Queensland Cup, we also seen the PNG Hunters.
Tell me they got up.
No, they did it. They lost to the Tweed Seagulls 36-28. For Tweed's first win of the season. It means that PNG sit ninth on the ladder now.
Plenty of time to turn it around, boys. Up the Hunters, up the Silk Tails.
So that's it from Rugby League. I know there was a bit going on. Take me through the Rugby Union world, Sammy.
Rugby Union, again, this round, defence was optional. So many big scores. And we'll go through one of them being the Drua versus the Rebels. This game, I think it was a statement game for the Drua. Should have been. Two big wins at home, looking for that away win, taking some points away to help them in the back end of the season, because we're getting to that pointy end of the season now where you need away. If you can't get the away win, you need the away bonus point. And then win all your games at home. The Drua, look, they started the game well. I think defensively they had great energy. They were getting off the line fast, in attack. They crossed the line early in the first minute, got disallowed, but then they crossed again in the 13th minute from Frank Lamani. They were on top in that first half. They were winning 20-8, leading to half time. Right on the stroke of half time, they give a penalty away. Rotui Solia gets a yellow card. Melbourne Rebels kick to the corner, get a more try, ends up being 20-15, right on the stroke of half time. So their discipline's been an issue all year for the Drua. And I feel like it's been masked a little bit because they were playing well in Fiji, but their penalty count and their red cards has been consistent. And speaking of those red cards, they got two red cards in that game.
In the second half. So they went yellow card, red card, red card, in 40 minutes.
All within that 40 minutes. And two of those red cards, they'll be disappointed. Like, it's uncharacteristic. Like, Frank Lamani was cleaned out off the ball, got frustrated, elbows the Rebels player in the back of the head, splits him open, red card.
Red card.
Koroi Nduandua, the prop for the Drua, he gets red carded for a headbutt. Headbutted him, blatant headbutt. You know, when you're just going face to face and you just see him wind back the head.
Oh.
It goes dink straight on the face of Alex Murphy.
He will be looking at some time on the sidelines if it was NRL. What's it like in Super Rugby?
Yeah, well, you think about it with some of the penalties that are given away in rugby around head contact compared to league. Like, he's going to be on the sidelines for a while, you'd have to think. But yeah, disappointing. And that poor discipline from the Drua really cost them. And I think for them, it's something they need to address.
Was there anything that got underneath their skin? You know, was there a certain way that Melbourne were playing? Why did they get frustrated? I know that when teams, say, concede a try or concede a penalty in rugby league, sometimes they can back that up with more because they get a bit frustrated. They don't have that mental strength to try and overcome adversity.
Yeah, absolutely right. Like, it just seemed like from the momentum that they had in the first half, it didn't feel like they should have been in like that red head mode. They should have been in blue head mode. But I don't know if this is for sure, but the defensive coach, Brad Harris, he was the defensive coach for the Drua for their first two years. He's now at the Rebels as their defensive coach. I'm not sure if he had inside word on how to get under the boys' skin But whatever happened at second half, whatever they said in the second half, it really frustrated the draw. And then we had Vaihu from the Rebels score two tries, and Filippo Dangunu, the Fijian centre for the Rebels, he carved up as well. Yeah, we'll just see how it goes. They've got the bye this week. Time to regroup, and they'll be back in Fiji against the Hurricanes on the 19th Friday night game. That'll be a blockbuster.
Looking forward to that one, but Moana didn't want to bring the shoulder pads either.
No shoulder pads, no shoulders. I think it was touch footy for a little bit. Maybe a little bit of Oz tag with the grab in there. Oh, but I felt for Moana Pacifica. Another big score. Like that's, you know, the last, what, three games, they've conceded 175 points.
Ooh, in total.
In total. Only four. An
average of 55.6 to be exact.
Oh, yes, he's done his math. Perfect. And then they've only scored 41 points in total for the last three games. I don't know, Tanu Umanga and his men, it's not through a lack of effort. It's not through a lack of energy. It just seems that every time there was a turnover, teams are scoring. Every time they contest the ball in the air, the other team gets it, flick the ball over the head, it's landing in the opposition hands and they're running and scoring length. Like they're diving into everything. They're trying their best, but it's like that cohesion and just the polish is just not clicking for Moana Pacifica at the moment. And yeah,
what's the answers?
I think don't train. Just go connect for a week. Just get away from footy. You know what it's like? Because you can keep trying to dig that hole further and further and try and find the answers. But at the end of the day, some of the times, and I, you know what, I can speak from experience. The times where we've just lost eight in a row, we trained once that week. We had a barbecue, a swim, but you do it away from the public eye because I go, look at these guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't take their job seriously. They look at them just having fun because you're not allowed to have fun when you're losing, see? And we come out and play the best footy. So we just, you're trying to alleviate some of that pressure.
Take the pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just get back to basics and hopefully they can turn that around. But a positive out of that was, you know, Michael Jones here, Sir Michael.
Sir Michael, New Zealand legend, All Blacks legend. Yes.
Yeah, Samoan, great man. His son, Nico Jones, he was playing for Old Glory in the USA in the MLR competition. Signed a short-term release. He's just on loan for Moana Pacifica, and he made his debut in the 7 jersey
for Moana
Pacifica.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah, that was cool to see him out there. It's obviously a famous last name.
Damn, what a game to have your debut in. One he won't forget, hey.
He won't forget, yeah. What was it? How'd you go? Don't worry about that. I just made my debut.
Don't worry. Do you know who my dad is?
Yeah, exactly. My dad's a legend. In the women's game, some great results there, and we're going to go to Shelley Long, who's back this week, and she'll give us the rundown in Super W and all the things that come there with the Hong Kong Sevens as well. But speaking of Hong Kong Sevens, in the men's game, New Zealand beat France in the final for their first win this Sevens season. Fiji, first tournament under new coach. They lost to Australia, but beat Canada and France in the pool stages, then lost to New Zealand in the quarters and beat South Africa to finish fifth. Fiji are now third on the ladder. Samoa, a disappointing tournament, losing all three of their pool games, then lost to Argentina, who have been on fire, who's won a fair few tournaments. They finished 10th. They are 11th out of the 12 teams on the ladder. But yeah, the Sevens game, such a tough format on that one. But here's another one for pathway opportunities. World Rugby, the Pacific Challenge. Yeah, this kicks off on Wednesday for 10 days in Apia. Games played on April 10th, 15th and 20th. Round robin between Manu'uma Samoa, Fiji Warriors, Tonga A, Japan 15. These young players will be on display to impress the selectors for the Pacific Combine to eventually get a contract with either Moana Pacifica, the Drua or elsewhere around the world. So we'll chat more about that on Friday with the great man, Tote Gefil. So that's Rugby Union for the week.
Great work, Sammy. Let's head over to Shelley and cover all the women's footy news across Australia and the Pacific. Shelley is our PNG Orchid superstar.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Shelley, it feels like it's been a minute. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing so good. I was so excited when I realized it was Monday today. It feels like I have not been on in forever as well.
Yeah, I feel the same. It feels like it's been ages for myself being on here. So welcome back for you and me. And I'll be back to Fiji next week and the week after. But it's great to see you again.
Oh, all these holidays, I feel like you're taking, Sam.
Come on, mate. It's not holidays.
Working holidays,
working,
he says.
Working. Double dipping.
Anyways, Shelley, let's move on to the Mackay Cutters at the top of the ladder. How does it feel to be...
No surprise, really.
At the top with the Dolphins in the men's game.
Oh, it feels really good. I think, obviously, we have a really tricky setup where we do the satellite training. But I think when we come together, we've really found how we gel and how we work as a team. And I think that's what really matters when you play rugby league. And I think with the travel, we've just sort of learned to adapt a little bit more to it. You know, round four now, we've got the groove of it.
I reckon your coach is going to be cheering because you're already doing all the important stuff, chemistry, bonding, spending time together. Yep. So he doesn't have to worry about that during preseason. He can just send you up Castle Hill.
Straight for fitness.
But how does that, are you getting that feeling, you know, with the travel, that time that you spend with the girls, that chemistry and that bond between you girls are getting closer?
Yeah, definitely. I think the best thing for us is that a lot of us stayed in Townsville and we get to play in and for the Mackay Cutters. So for us going into that preseason, it won't be as big of a challenge as other teams might face in that sense. But I do think that we still probably have our challenges where, you know, we're building our combinations, but that's only, you know, 10 or 11 of us, and we've got a squad of 24. So the combinations might change. There's also that possibility that not all of us get selected to play in NRLW as well. So everyone's fighting for their spot still.
Oh, that's good. Well, it's still half the squad is pretty much together. And when you think about all the other NRLW teams, they don't really start preseason until another month away. So you've really got the jump on them. So where did the Cowboys finish last year?
We finished ninth.
Okay, second last. I'm expecting big things this year, Shell. If there's no semi-final berth, then I don't know what. I'm just expecting good things.
The game I'm looking forward to is Cowboys versus the Knights versus your old coach.
Ooh, the old coach. There we go.
Anyways, let's move on to the NRLW. And I think over the last couple of weeks, the biggest news coming out of that, the rugby league women's game, is the NRLW expansion for next year in the 2025 season. What are your thoughts on the NRLW adding the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs and also the New Zealand Warriors to the tournament?
I think it's an incredible movement in the NRLW space. I think the Warriors, you know, a lot of teams and a lot of players were really wanting them to come back earlier on, especially when the Cowboys and the Tigers and things like that ended up coming in. We were really hoping that the Warriors were to make their return, but I'm super excited that they'll make their return next year. I think for us it means, you know, the growth of the game means more players get the opportunity to represent in an NRLW level and at the elite level. But I'll be interested to see whether we have the depth of players to fill those two new teams. You know, our squads are 24 players. You've also got your development players, so that's about 28 players in total per team that you've got to fill. And you've got to try and convince players as well to make the move into those new teams because you need some experienced players. And when you think about and you look at how our contracts are now, we can sign multi-year contracts and be guaranteed to be in the system for multiple years. And now you've got to potentially, for the girls who are from New Zealand who do live in Australia or do play for Australian-based teams, to ask for releases, that's going to be really tricky. And I do think if the Warriors had been announced earlier, a lot of players potentially wouldn't have signed long-term contracts.
You mentioned some of the challenges for the new teams. You've been at the Cowboys last year in 2023. What do you think some of those challenges were when you came up against, you know, some of the teams that have been there for a longer period, being a new club?
Definitely the combinations. I think clubs have players that will stay long term at their clubs and they build those relationships with one another and those combinations. But I also think it's teething. like every new club that's come into the NRLW has had teething issues, whether that be in staff and management or players as well. You're not going to get everything right in the first season that you come in, and I think that's probably the biggest challenge, is that the clubs will be teething.
Yeah, especially in the relocation as well. I know you girls had a player from UK and a couple players from Fiji, and your club actually managed that pretty well. There will be some challenges, especially for the New Zealand Warriors if they were to sign a few girls from Australia, but I'm sure that they will, like you mentioned, like you said, teething issues, they'll get through it, and they'll come out the other end.
I think as well, and that the Bulldogs, they probably might not have that issue with relocation. There's a lot of talent out there. If we look at their Lisa Fiola team, they're winning games by nearly 100 down there. So there's a lot of depth, a lot of Pacifica presence in the southwest pocket as well. So they might be able to hit the ground running a little bit faster than maybe the other teams. But I know you've kept your eye on that Lisa Fiola Cup with the Dogs with those big scores, Shell.
Yeah, they've been incredible. I think one of their last games, 98 points. You know, we talked a little bit about when do we call the mercy rule in rugby. Surely, you know, it was pretty close at 90 points. But I think, yeah, you look at the junior competitions coming up, it's really good to see. And I think they'll be definitely looking and eyeing off an NRLW spot. And I think that a lot of them are really ready to be tested and challenge themselves in the NRLW.
Before we move over to the Super Rugby or the Super W, sorry, and rugby news in the women's space, are there any NRLW signings that have happened recently?
We've got one signing. Liz Tafuna has officially been announced as signing with the Sydney Roosters after an impressive USA Combine trial. She was definitely one that we were talking about, I think.
The Raiders.
Didn't you say the Raiders?
I was telling everyone that you told me the Raiders, and then my mail's no good anymore.
I thought you were the mole, but you're obviously not the mole.
Yeah, I did. My rip's gone out the window. Of course the Roosters got her.
But the Roosters have got her, and I think it will be really good for her to come over and go into the Sydney Roosters, because they have an extremely talented group of players there that will really unleash her potential. And she's been doing really well in the rugby union space, but I think when she comes and plays rugby league, she'll be absolutely lethal and really challenge, I think, the middles as well.
Over to our code, the rugby union, Super W results.
Your code, not ours.
Sorry.
Ours, me and Shelley's league.
No. Right, see. I really dislike both of you. Rugby league's my game now. I'm an expert in it now when I go talk to my mates. But anyway,
Nisha knowledge.
Nah. Super W, they have one more round to go before finals. The Waratahs continue to shine in the Super W. They face Western Forces in some really hot conditions on Saturday afternoon in Perth. The Waratahs did win 45 points to 21. Whilst the Waratahs' brightly lit winning streak continues, the Fijiana Drua have had a successful run themselves, winning 20 points to 7 over the Brumbies this weekend. The Reds, they did have a really good win, just narrowly winning. Young Shalom Sayuso scoring two sensational tries to help the Reds in that game. She has been incredible. We've spoken, you know, the past couple of weeks about her, but she has been sensational for the Reds and really challenged a lot of teams with her defensive efforts and also her attacking ability. And who knows, I really hope that NRLW poach her.
Yes.
easy. This is a rugby union segment, all right? This is our time. You've had your five minutes.
Throw the book at her.
Anyway, she scored plenty of tries this year, but like she's absolutely dominating Super W, especially in a losing team at the moment with the Reds.
I think that she'll be a name that we see in rugby union for quite a while. Her talent is honestly amazing. I watched a couple of the highlight reels. Her contact as well and the physicality that she brings to the game is incredible. And she doesn't shy away from it either, which is the best thing when you look at players coming through. But in saying that, the Waratahs, they will place first and are on first in the ladder, with the Drua placing second at the moment. So they'll both look to go through to the finals.
Could be a home semi-final for the Fiji Drua team as well, I think, depending on this week's results. They'll get a home, and that means...
That means you get to do a double header.
I extend my stay. The boys play Friday night, and then, yep, I get to extend my stay on the Saturday and call the game.
Are we looking at a draw, a TAS, most likely grand final, or could there be an upset?
There could be an upset, but if the draw get the home semi, no one's beating them there.
Doesn't TAS beat them?
TAS flogging, but to be honest, it's TAS and Daylight at the moment. It's TAS, you know, it's theirs to win.
Yeah, they've been playing some really, really good footy, and I think, you know, the back of... The Wallaroos, a lot of their players have been really training, and I think a lot of them will also get call-ups into that Wallaroos when they eventually play again. So Waratahs, yeah, it's up to them really to win that competition.
Yeah, the Waratahs are a bit like your Cutters team, full of Wallaroos and full of rep players in there, so cohesion is down pat. But Hong Kong Sevens.
New Zealand beat USA for their third win in a row with the Rugby Union Sevens competition happening at the moment. They now sit on top of the ladder alongside Australia as equal leaders. Fiji lost the quarters but then beat Canada to come fifth in the tournament, and now they sit sixth overall on the ranking. So they'll definitely be looking to keep improving along the way as preparation for the Olympics.
Well, that's the appeal to rugby, isn't it? Hong Kong, Singapore, Paris, Dubai, New Zealand. Oh, you name it, we play there. Whereas you go to Penrith, you go to New Zealand, you go to North Queensland. All
it's the product, mate. It's the game.
All beautiful venues to play at. Awesome.
It's not entertaining at all.
The Sevens is. The Sevens
and
definitely
is. And we don't get jet lag.
The Sevens used to be when the Fijians used to dominate in that sport.
Yeah, well, it's a changing of the guard and everyone's caught up. But anyway.
Thank you again, Shelley, and we'll see you next Monday.
Thanks, Shelley.
See you Monday, guys.
Culture Shock.
Yes, this is our segment where we take you to a different part of the Pacific each week and learn something new about the rich cultures that we love to celebrate. Last week, we talked about the Vanuatu tradition of land diving, bungee jumping. Now we're heading to Niue this week with Sammy. Sammy, what you got for us?
Well, it's definitely not as crazy as the land diving as a Vanuatuan to become a man. This one, you wouldn't believe this one from Niue.
From Niue.
The beautiful small island in Niue.
Where Professor Paulo, Surfer Paulo.
Yeah, plenty of Niueans, yeah. Mike Filomono, who we had on the show as well,
yep.
Represented Tor Niue. But guess what I found, mate? I don't know if you would guess this one. You won't guess. I'm just going to go straight into it. Niue is the home to the last known Italian honeybees.
Italian honeybees.
Yeah, I don't know why Italian honeybees are there, how they got there. I should know this because it's my segment, but... I'll get to that a little bit later, why. But these bees in Niue are believed to be the last clean, healthy, pure, free from disease and parasite bees on Earth.
So is this about the honey or about the bee?
It's a honeybee.
Man, I want to know what kind of honey I'm eating if it's not from that bee.
Yeah, that's a good question. What's in the other honey?
So it's the last breed of the Italian
honeybee. And they live in Niue. Have the best bees and honey in Niue. It turns out being small and isolated is the best thing for bees. It's great. So hopefully we can taste some from our mate Mike. We'll get him to bring some over for us.
Great work, Sammy. What do you got for us next week?
Yeah, where are we going? So we are going to go to another small place who fill up the French rugby union team, Wallace and Futuna. Yeah. So I want you to take us over there and give me some facts.
Something
that shocks me from that place.
Wallace and Futuna honeybees. All right, let's go. I like it.
Nesian footy.
All right, T, our listeners, this is a big one for us. This is a big get. I'm excited for our next guest. Played against him a few times. Absolutely beast on the field, and he smashed me plenty of times as well. But we have a global rugby union household name. He's a Tongan beast, grew up in NZ, working his way through the representative pathways in New Zealand as well, then saw the light, came to Australia and become what I believe one of the greatest props to have ever worn, Wallaby Gold. He's played over 100 games for the Wallabies, won a title with the Waratahs, London Irish in England, Bordeaux in France, and he is still going at the young age of 38, playing for Moana Pacifica. The man himself, Sekope Kepu. Welcome to Nesian Footy, bro.
Yeah, thanks, Waxy. Thanks, T. No, it's a pleasure to be on here, and thanks for having us on. You know, it's nice to see the work that you boys are doing, and it's getting all the boys on here. It's been nice.
No, we appreciate your time, bro. And to be honest, I'm only going to mention this a couple of times. Your age of 38, the old bull. It's young. You're still moving. Mate, can you just tell us quickly, how is the body still going? You scored a beautiful try against the Force. Bit of footwork. Like, what's the secret? Because there's no way I'm playing ever again.
Oh, man. Body is feeling a bit sore now after a few games. But, yeah, look, I've just been, I guess, very lucky to be able to be still playing. Didn't have any major injuries, if I'm looking back, reflecting on it, up until a couple of years ago. I'm just honestly grateful to be still playing. And it seems like everyone I talk to encouraged me, and that's a bit of motivation for me as well. All they say is, bro, just keep going. Just don't stop playing.
Just like we say, bro, till the wheels fall off. Yeah. You're a long time retired. So I love seeing you out there still doing your thing. Just to kick us off as well, we've got a bit of audio here that for all our listeners, it's when you received the captaincy for the Moana Pacifica that we want to share.
To see my family during those songs, indescribable. Never quite this many times in a team environment. The bond, the brotherhood, the connections that we have from the bottom of my heart and my family, my village. This is our village. These are the people we defend for. From the bottom of our hearts, I just want to say thank you.
So that was a couple of years ago, and can you share with us the emotion that was running through while you were going through that speech?
So how the whole day sort of played out. I had planned a barbecue at home for the team, and I said to my wife, "Oh, can you obviously sort some stuff out, cook and prepare the house?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm going to be busy," and I was like, "That's unlike her. She, every time I sort of ask her to do something, she sort of goes out of the way to do it." Anyways, so I didn't know that she was organising all my family and that to be at the sort of surprise captain's announcement meeting, which we had after that training. It was our final training for the week. They called the meeting. We went in for the meeting. We weren't quite sure what it was for. I was just sitting there. We were singing one of our Tongan hymns, and I was just sort of harmonising with Sam Molly next to me in the moment, sort of closed my eyes and just singing. And then as I sort of looked up, and I looked over and I seen all my sisters, best mates, and my wife and my kids there. And it just, that was when I was like, oh, man. Because a couple of weeks, or a week before that, Aaron, as I had sort of asked me if I would be the, he'd like to be the, you know, sort of posed it to me. And honestly, that was just like, I've never been the captain at that, you know, Super Rugby or through juniors and that, but I saw it as a massive responsibility, or I saw it as something that was far too great for me. So, you know, sort of slept on it, talked to my wife, and decided that I'll take that challenge on, and very grateful for that opportunity. And to look up, you know, and see my family there, I just, like, the penny dropped, and I clicked what was going on, and then, it's just obviously fought back the tears and couldn't sort of hold it together.
Well, it sounds like a very special moment. And you mentioned earlier when you opened your eyes, you've seen your family, and that's when the penny dropped. Can you give us a background into your Tongan heritage and, you know, the village that you're from and how your family ended up in New Zealand from Tonga?
Yeah, look, so obviously I was born in Aussie. My parents were in Aussie in 86 on leave from their work. Mum was a nurse and dad was a police officer for, I think, almost 20 years each. Had me in Australia, went back to Tonga, and we left from Tonga in 1989, came to New Zealand. And so my father is from Niwa and Ewa, Niwa Fo'ou and Ewa. And my mother's from Limatua and Bea in Tonga, in Tongatapu. So, yeah, so we came here when I was 3 in 89 and pretty much did all my schooling here, did high school, and then played a couple of years of NPC before getting picked up by the Tars, and then made the move in 2007, December 2007. no regrets. To be able to play for Australia was a dream come true, and to play for the Waratahs, you know, one of the most renowned clubs in the world, is something that I'll always be grateful for. So, yeah, so that's obviously my Tongan side. I'm happily married. My wife is Tongan. She's from Kolomotua and Havelu. Yeah, we have four beautiful children. So I've got a daughter and three boys. So I've got my front row, I guess.
Do they have a choice, your boys? You've just said that, your front rowers?
I think my oldest boy, he's skinny as, I don't know, he eats, but he doesn't seem to put on any weight. He's more a back. I think the other two will probably, they'll probably end up in the front row, to be fair.
Yeah. That's unreal. So just talk about your, you know, we'll go touch on your culture for a bit longer. Fluent in Tongan. You know, how do you, I guess, embrace the Tongan culture within your family? But, you know, how do you blend all the cultures within Moana Pacifica and bring all that together and use that towards high performance?
Yeah, look, as I said, I've just gotten out of a meeting. We have a guy that comes in for a couple of hours a week and basically just helps us with an understanding our culture. You know, we truly believe that when you know who you truly are, then nothing really phases you, regardless, you know, whether you're playing, you're selected, you're not selected, whatever happens in life, you never really waver because you know who you truly are. And that's part of building our team as well, as a Moana Pacifica, is bringing all these beautiful cultures together and marrying it with the high performance. We truly believe we have great warriors and ancestors who were true, our forefathers, people that sailed the oceans and weren't scared of traveling, you know, the Pacific, biggest ocean in the world. And there's so much culture and richness in our culture that we try and draw from. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of. And I've really enjoyed coming back the last 3 years and actually getting back in touch with that side of my, you know, my culture, but also learning about other cultures has been massive as well. And it's been beautiful that my kids have been able to take part in their cultural groups, kapa haka and all that stuff in their schools that they provide here. They've just finished the Polyfest on the weekend. You know, my daughter performed in that and she loves it.
Now, I could listen to that forever, man. It's when you take us back to the greatest navigators of the sea, and you know, those stories, they really connect to our culture.
Yeah. Moving over to another jersey, the Tongan one. Man, you're so close to being eligible at that World Cup. The injury came. Mate, can you talk us through the emotions that you went through, you know, to try and get your body right for that and, you know, not being able to put on that jersey yet, because you've probably got some time left, I think.
Oh, man, it was hard. Like, Totaya sort of rung and I said, no, you know, I wanted to get through some club games, get my confidence back, get my fitness back, and didn't plan to play right through to the final with Karaka. You know, we weren't doing that great, but somehow we got through to the final and last 10 minutes. Ruptured my pec, and you know, the first thought in my mind was it's okay, it's not bad, but you know, your gut feel is like, man, this is not good. Yeah, and it was, to be honest, like it was a bit of a dark period in sort of my, you know, I'd come back from the Achilles and I was just sort of building back slowly, and you know, I was umming and ahhing at the start, but then my kids were a massive motivation for me now. Like, they not dictate, but they sort of wanted Dad to play for Tonga, and are pretty excited to have me in a red jersey. Would be pretty cool. So yeah, it was a tough time there when I got injured, missed out. I was meant to fly out on the Monday. You know, I got injured on the Saturday. I was meant to fly out on Monday, and then injury happened. I had to ring Doltay, and then yeah. But I guess it's, you know, you're a big believer, you know, that everything happens for a reason.
So there's still a chance that we'll see you in the red jersey.
Oh, look, don't want to look too far, but I guess for me, it just depends on how the body's holding up. I'm really enjoying the time that I'm getting, you know, at the moment, and I just want to keep building. But never say never. I guess we'll always cross that bridge when we get there at Waxi.
Hey, so this is how I know you're going to get there. You don't train Mondays. You have double massages. You got your career savers on. Like,
yeah.
You know the drill, eh? I'll see you at Captain's Run and I'll be right for the game.
Yeah. Shout out to Alan and Jordan for the career savers.
Yeah, but
it's getting me through the sessions. The old tight hip prop tricks is book the second to last massage slot so you can get the last and you double up.
That's the one, mate. Or you write Kips and then Sekope underneath, so people think there's two different people. Well, mate, we all know the tricks.
You know the tricks, bro.
Just wear the yellow bib the whole week.
Oh, that's the other one, the bib. Non-contact bib.
Have you thought about what's next after your footy career?
Yeah, planning some stuff in the pipeline now. I want to get into coaching. Coaching is something I really enjoy, and I've done a little bit over the last couple of years with a couple of schools here and club and stuff. So doing that outside of my time here at training for myself to learn off other coaches, but also to help pass on the knowledge to the young front rowers and forwards. So it's something I really enjoy doing. And, yeah, I guess that's sort of the plan for life after footy.
I think that's important, like who you are as a person, your leadership, you know, having that representation like yourself who's gone through the whole system and now can give back and articulate in a professional manner. I think it's important that you stay in that space. One thing that I want to touch on is pretty sure it was you and Wycliffe Balu. You guys wore your te penu for the Waratahs Awards night back then. You know, that stuck with me for so long, that seeing our Tongan leaders wearing that at a function where predominantly it is, you know, corporates and people that wouldn't normally see our attire. What was the decision behind wearing that, and how was it received by your players and the people in that room?
Yeah, look, I that decision was sort of just made between us, and we thought it would be nice for us to wear ripping the team Tonga for a little while at Waratahs there, and I guess it was part of being proud of who we were, you know, as people and representing our people in such a team that we were, you know, a minority. And that's something that I'm very passionate about now, is everywhere I go and everywhere, you know, function I go to, that's, you know, ever since coming back here to Moana, understanding truly who we are and, you know, the beauty about our culture. And I'm truly blessed to be here. And something that I do now is wear my te penu and tawala every corporate dinner, whatever function we have. It's about being comfortable in who we are. And we did it in Melbourne in the Super Round the first year in 2022, I believe. And just to get the comments of how beautiful our attire looked, because it is very unique. And that's what we try and push out to our people and our boys that are playing rugby. For a long time, and I look back, for example, when we were at the Waratahs, I always tell the story of when we started our little prayer group. It was only 3, 4, 5 of us max. And before every game, it was kind of like we felt isolated and we needed to go say the prayer in the shower, you know, or in the physio room away from the main shed. And you come into a team now is where we start with the guys get up, they tell a joke, start the day, energizer, we say a lotu, and we say, you know, we sing a Tongan Samoan hymn, a waiata, and then we say a lotu, then we start our meeting. And that's the way we start here every single day. You know, before the game, we sing our two hymns, and then we go into a prayer, then we're out to war. Is you can probably hear my voice, but it's such a beautiful thing to be able to do it now and just really broadcast to the world of the beauty of our culture and who we truly are, and that it can be incorporated with high performance. And that's where I reflect back to it, not in a bad way, but just the growth that I've had personally and the growth I've seen over the years and to where we are today. And I encourage every Pacifica player, you know, be proud of who we are. And you can see it in the NFL. Their boys are wearing it on game day, you know. And, you know, there's sprinkles of all our people everywhere, you know. Their boys are wearing the legs, the ears, all that stuff. It's a beautiful thing and it's very unique. And guys must understand that, you know, we're very blessed people. You know, we come from a beautiful part of the world, and not to be afraid or to feel insecure about it, but to be proud and be loud about it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does, man. Bro. That was cool, bro. 100%.
You're just listening to you, you're making me proud to, you know, be a Pacifica and Pacifica Islander, and also hearing how you acknowledge and you respect our culture and understanding who you are, man, it just makes me proud of myself. But one thing I do know about our culture, and which will lead me to my last question and finishing on a lighter note, is that we love our food. And my question is, what's your favorite cheat meal?
Yeah, oh, man. Mine is my wife's little sippy and sweet potato soup kumala with a dash of coconut kara, to be precise. Coconut cream. That's my go-to. Actually, last night's dinner was otta. So she kindly made us a raw fish dish with kumala. So yeah, oh man. Some after matches, we get some of the island food here, and the sapa suis, and what's the salmon nana dish? Fa'i.
Oh, yeah.
Anything with coconut cream is nice.
Kips, just on that note, man, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on here and sharing your journey, your story, your impact in the game that you've had, not only on me, but the younger generation coming through, as if through your representation of embracing culture. It should be, yeah, I just take my hat off to you, bro, and love everything you do, your energy and your leadership, and I wish you all the best until the wheels fall off.
Nah, thanks very much, T, man. It's nice to meet you, brother, and I love this stuff, and I love speaking about our culture, so it's good to talk to you again, Waikiki. As soon as our media lady said it was you, you know, it was straight on the time slot, so I got all the time in the world for you, brother. Keep up the good work, man.
Cheers. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
This is Nation Footy. Nation Knowledge.
Yes, Nation Knowledge.
This is the big one, though.
This is the big one.
Because it's for a Nation Footy tattoo.
So we've got tattoo and lunches all in the one day.
And I'm losing this one. 6-3.
Here we go. And so it's each your week,
we wrap up the show by asking each other three questions, one from the past, the present, and one out the box one. So
here we go.
It's 6-3, and it's my turn. So hopefully you don't get a bigger lead, but kept it quite simple and easy for you this week, Sammy, to try and ease it off. You know, next week was like, oh, yeah, he went easy.
Yeah, don't lie, mate. You've made it difficult. Hard mode.
So on the weekend, we seen a nice moment where Joseph Suoliti takes a photo with Michael Jennings and posts the photo on Instagram, showing another photo of him when he was a little kid taking a photo with Michael Jennings and
our good friend
Masada Yosefa. But what is the age difference between Michael Jennings and young gun Joseph Suoliti in years?
In years, okay. I'm going to say 16 years.
16 years was close. It is 15 years.
Oh.
Very close.
Joe Swally, he's 21, isn't he?
He's 20.
Oh, he's 20.
Jenko's 35, turning 36. Yeah. If you waited maybe a week or two, I think it's April 20th is Jenko's birthday.
He's not in January?
No. That was Willie Isa. All right. So, Sammy, that was my present question. Now, you made your Super Rugby debut in 2008.
Yes, I did.
And you played the Cheetahs?
Yes.
And the score was?
We won by 2 points. I want to go 17-15.
Wrong. It was 15-16.
Oh, won by 1 point. You know what? I should have known that score because I only won about another seven more after that.
Wow. In kilometres, so it's out the box. We're talking about running.
Yep.
And my calves are sore. You make me come on one of your adventures upstairs. So in kilometres, what is the current correct distance for an Olympic marathon?
Olympic marathon?
Yeah.
41.2 kilometres.
Ooh, that was close. It was 42.195.
I'm a bee's thing away from all of those answers. But well done, T. I actually really enjoyed losing and not getting a point for Nisha.
Because they were easy.
Yeah, they were nice. But that's our time up for today. For Nisha and Footy, remember, there's recent chats with Faitala Moleka, Payne Haas, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.